This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy six Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1 liter flavors and get the seventh free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy six and get the seventh free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
It is trade deadline day. Welcome in on Sabres Live, and there certainly seems to be an awful lot going on, including the Buffalo Sabres with a division rival. That's a reported deal that we're going to dive into here with Chris Baker from Sabres Prospects. Great to have you back. I've been told that you've acquired a mouse as part of trade deadline day today. So this is a big step for you. Small acquisition, but could be really beneficial to your game moving forward.
You know, trying to reacquire a mouse that I actually left in the studio where you and Marty do the game broadcast, the away game broadcast. But yes, pleasure to be with you. Happy deadline day. Happy 1 year and a day anniversary from the Casey Mittelstadt Bowen Byram trade a year ago.
Yes.
The reshaping potentially continues today, Duffer.
Well, it certainly does, because the reports across all major platforms here on deadline day is that Dylan Cousins has been dealt to Ottawa for Josh Norris. There will, and Jacob Bernard-Docker on the blue line. Focusing strictly on what you thought when you first heard it, what is an immediate reaction to a Cousins for Norris deal?
Well, you start looking at first the incoming value of the player that you're returning. Anytime you make a trade, you have to worry about how is this player that you're getting in help you? And we can talk about Dylan Cousins after that. I think with Josh Norris, you know, a player that I was personally very familiar with because he wasn't drafted not too long ago. I was telling a little anecdote. I mean, we saw this player in the national team development program coming up in his draft year, University of Michigan, very good two-way player, responsible goal scorer, hardworking, good forechecker. I think he's going to help your roster big time. There's questions, I think, you know, with Norris. Just, I think, you know, you got to monitor his health, right? He had a shoulder injury that ended his season early not too long ago. And I think he's had some nicks and dings this season as well. Overall, though, I think I like the makeup of the player. You know, going back to when you and I, we talked about him, Duffer, on a Prospect Avenue feature in his draft year. And we said that this was a player. I went back and I looked, I checked my notes, but it's also up here. It's downloaded in the hard drive forever. He's a heart and soul player that's going to help a team in a playoff series if he's ever in that opportunity to play in a playoff series.
Mm-hmm.
But I think to this point in his career, he hasn't yet. So, you know, you're now waiting to test that hypothesis. But that's the type of player you're getting with him, is a really hardworking, offensive, skilled player.
He's already at 20 goals this year. He has historically been, Josh Norris we're speaking of, a goals first rather than assists type of player. This, to me, was never more evident than in his first season in the American Hockey League, where it seemed like every time I saw the Amerks playing his Senators, I could not unsee him. He was dynamic, and therefore only 1 year in the American League, and he's had, like Cousins, a season over 30 goals in the NHL. He has since had trouble with injuries, there's no question. But then he finds himself this year often playing with Drake Batherson, has played with many of Ottawa's top scoring players, as you would expect, plays more than 18 minutes a night. Chris, there's a lot of similarities here as far as career totals, single season highs, long-term contracts. Again, drafted 2 years prior to Cousins, so just a little bit older, but the injuries have prevented him from having the total games played that Cousins has to date.
No, it's the similarities and like they're very good. And I'm glad that you quantified with the goal totals, like you mentioned. I think he had 35 in his peak year, just a couple short years ago. I'm glad. The big thing here is also you're getting a similar type of player if they both reach their max potential of what you're giving up.
Yep.
You're improving your average age. The point about the imbalance in his scoring versus assists is very interesting because now when you look at your top two centermen with Kulik and Norris, very similar. So now you have to start, you're saying, okay, where's the playmaking come from, right? And it kind of goes into what's the bigger picture of what Kevin Adams and his whole hockey operations department, what's their mission today moving forward? It's the start of, you know, a nice building process here. Norris, again, I'm not going to harp on it anymore. If he stays healthy, they're getting a very good player here at a good number, 7.95 AAV through 2030. I think the question is now is that what does this do for Yuri Kulik's development a little bit? Does it give him a little bit of room to breathe? Because I think with the line mates that you just went through, whether it's David Perron, who came in and he's been playing with him recently opposite Drake Batherson, Norris has spent time with Giroux at various points this season, spent time with Brady Tkachuk. That implies that he's been a very important player on a playoff team. By the way, Ottawa is in playoff position right now, right? Does Norris immediately vault up to the top of your center depth on the depth chart? And you can play around now with other combinations with Yuri Kulik and give him a little bit more room to breathe as a very young player.
It will be fascinating to hear both general managers involved in this transaction as to why you would make the deal from Ottawa's standpoint in a playoff spot, from Buffalo's standpoint, for a comparable statistically player, but one who has had some challenges physically. There's a lot here. And you're talking about, I get it, the cap is going up. So annual values of big contracts going up. But these are two still very significant contracts on either side of this transaction. And so again, the reports indicating that Dylan Cousins is going to Ottawa, and it would send Josh Norris to the Sabres, along with defenseman Jacob Bernard-Docker, who has been really hampered by injuries for more than 2 months now, so but does have the green light, correct?
Yeah, it sounds like he just came off LTIR, so he suffered a high ankle injury in a practice on January 6th. Was stashed in LTIR, just came off, and it seems like he's ready to go. He does have the green light. You're looking at, I mean, you're improving with Bernard-Docker, if we could spend a couple seconds on him. You know, you're improving your organizational right-handed depth with him. Really good skater, but, you know, probably a bottom pair guy. If you look organizationally, and this is just my view right now, with it still kind of fresh, I think with Bernard-Docker, being that right shot gives you a little bit of a cushion as some of your younger guys can develop, regardless of their shot, frankly. But if you look at the right-handed depth, I really start looking at Sevalod Komarov, and I look at maybe Sturbach, who is still in college and a little bit further off, but is a guy who's going to be right there, I think, on the depth chart when he does turn pro with where Komarov is right now. So I think it gives those guys a little bit of breathing room. And you're seeing this right now, whether it's Ryan Johnson or maybe Novikov, they're going to bring those guys along slowly and try to address the average age of your NHL roster. So you don't have so many young guys playing these critical roles in a business. That's what the NHL team is, right? And any business thrives with experience. And the Sabres, that's the mission for them moving forward. Kind of slow cook some of your guys. And Bernard-Docker is kind of that tweener that gives you some depth. He's played in the league enough where I think you can shuttle him in and out of the lineup and use him again. Good skater. I don't think he's going to, you know, he's competent. Let's just say that he's very competent, but he needs to, another one, stay healthy, right? That's going to create opportunity for him in this organization.
Yeah. And I mean, obviously there's, it's been a large group on the blue line for the entirety of this season. And that has meant some really challenging moments for those, i.e. Joki Haru, Samuelson, regulars in the lineup that found themselves not in the lineup for periods of time. If Joki Haru does move on as an unrestricted free agent or as of today in a transaction, you're basically just getting a little bit more organizational certainty, right? It's another right shot defenseman, slightly younger, under control as an RFA as opposed to UFA, but not, as you say, I mean, not likely to be a major impact in all of this, but more of the retooling. So, again, it's been a really interesting day here across the league. Looks like Andre Kuzmenko was just dealt from Philadelphia to Los Angeles. Again, will he ever regain that form, you know, as an impressive scorer? LA could certainly use it, having lost five in a row right now, but still holding onto a playoff spot. And from a Sabres standpoint, reports this morning that Jason Zucker, not unlike Jordan Greenway a couple of days ago, has inked a two-year extension at just under what he was making this season. So it comes in under $10 million for the 2 years. Again, not confirmed by the Sabres yet, but these all add up to, in your eyes, what, as far as what they're looking, and this is a topic Marty's been on, like, well, what are they going to look like on night one next year, right? That's so, because the playoffs aren't now in a realistic scenario for this team. So what's it going to look like night one? Just this little sampling of what we've heard reported and what has happened as far as extensions. What do you think we're going to be seeing as the goal to change this for night one next year?
A lot of it kind of goes back to what I just said about improving that experience that you have in the lineup, regardless of position. Mm-hmm. And that's why I thought it was very critical. Like, coming into this whole week, the top two priorities were getting Zucker and Greenway signed, and maybe not in that order, right, of priority. Mm-hmm. I think they had it in the right order of priority. Yep. With a 28-year-old Greenway and I think 33 at the moment how old Zucker is, but it's about those guys that have been there, done that. I thought that was an important piece of business. Both of those deals very team friendly, in my opinion.
Yep.
In terms of money, Jason Zucker gets some security with a 2-year contract. Yep. Great. And I think that this situation improves like his outlook on, he has a great opportunity to continue to play here at a high level. If he can repeat or come even 90% of what he's done this year, he's going to be very valuable.
Agreed.
To the Buffalo Sabres moving forward. So this is just the beginning, though, I think, of continuing on and getting some experience depth. Mm-hmm. And like, when I look at Greenway, you know, he hasn't played a full season in a while, but I'll take him at 70 games if it means bridging your prospects and getting them small chunks of action and allowing to keep them down to continue to grow in Rochester. Mm-hmm. That's important to, I think, the organization's health.
And I would naturally, I think, dovetail off of that comment by saying they don't have a Greenway type who's developing right now. So whether that gets acquired through other deals, when you're potentially, hey, we don't want draft picks anymore, we want one of your prospects, and maybe you acquire a 20, 21-year-old that has more size, reminiscent of Greenway. You're right. Like, this does, I don't even want to say buy time, because I think it's a tad disrespectful to Greenway and what he brings in the moment, right? But yeah, I think most people look at the skill set that so many of Buffalo's draft picks have had, but not the size of a Greenway, or even the style of a Greenway, let alone what he, you know, reports at height and weight wise.
I would love a Wahlberg type of prospect in terms of size. That's a couple years more older with just a tad more bite. We don't know what Wahlberg's going to develop with a little bit more of an edge, but here's a guy who hasn't taken a penalty all year in Rochester, right? So it's like, you want a guy that's got a little more attitude. And I'm not saying that's not a knock on Anton Wahlberg at all.
Yeah.
19 years old still. Okay. Mm-hmm. He's got a lot of room to kind of find himself and understand how big and strong he is. It's going to come. But I think, to your point, somewhere between that Wahlberg as a prospect and Greenway as an established player, more length, more penalty kill aptitude, more net front. You mentioned Kuzmenko, who's racking up the frequent flyer miles, right, this season.
Oh, yeah.
Going back to LA. What an LA type of guy. Where does he make his money? Where is he effective? He can get to the front of the net.
Yeah.
He's pretty good in those dirty areas in front, in the high slot even, and downward. So players like that are kind of on the radar, I think, to kind of add some size and length and compete. compete because, you know, to your point about Greenway, I don't want to say unicorn on the show, but in the system, he's very unique. We'll go there. And you got to spread it out now so he's not wearing it all himself.
You did say the word. So I don't know, Jeff, whether we has the unicorn been in hiding, hibernation, perhaps? Or do we, oh my goodness.
You knew I was going to dredge that one up, Duffer. I can't come on Sabres Live and not mention the U word.
We need trade deadline earlier just for the reappearance. So reacquisition of the mouse, reappearance of the unicorn. We might even get Marty before this show is done, just to round out the trio and continue the discussion on what Sportsnet and insider Elliot Friedman has reported. And that is this Cousins to Ottawa deal, which brings Josh Norris and Jacob Bernard Docker reportedly back to Buffalo. The deal also said to include Dennis Gilbert and a second round pick going to the Senators. So that is kind of a natural offset when you're, Ottawa's in a playoff position. When you're parting with a depth defenseman, you should have a depth defenseman coming back. That's just simple math. And again, when we see and hear the whys behind this deal, I think we're going to be able to have an even stronger opinion. I think it's what are we seeing?
I believe
it's
now official from the Ottawa Senators.
Okay, Cousins, Gilbert, and a 2026 second for Norris and Jacob Bernard Docker. So, so that's
26 second.
Right? Yeah. Yeah.
So they keep their draft strategy this year remains intact, not giving
an official
up
from
right
the Sabres too. So
okay, perfect.
Yeah. When you look at Cousins' path to this point, what do you think, and how hard do you think it was for Kevin Adams to move him?
So a lot of this work, I think, the harder part of the job for Kevin Adams began a year ago. Mm-hmm. It's easy to build something up. It's easy to acquire young players through the draft and through various trades. And then the tough decisions come when you have to start extending or evaluating players. Now, keep in mind, Kevin Adams didn't draft Dylan Cousins, but he did extend him.
Yeah.
And it becomes a very hard, that's where the hard part comes. It started with trading Casey Mittelstadt, a guy who was very liked in the locker room, I think liked being in Buffalo. Had to make a decision, right? Mm-hmm. This is a continuation of that with Cousins. Cousins, I think, had a really good year. We already talked about it when comparing him and Norris, is the similarities in their careers. Mm-hmm. And it's just been tough. Like personally for me, Duffer, you know, I've said it a lot this year where it's a preference. It wasn't a hard no, but it was a preference to see it through with Dylan Cousins, despite some of the inconsistency and the struggles that we've seen in his game this year. Mm-hmm. I think there was a point in the season last year, he had a little bit of a physical altercation, and it's been a little bit of a, that's where the inconsistency for me began. You hope he can reclaim his game, but maybe not now that he's in division, maybe not as much, but I think that was very tough. This is another tough decision, and there's more to come. Reshaping this roster.
This was not on my must ask Baker list before the show, but because you just mentioned his name and because his name has been in the rumor mill for quite a while now, and because the Avalanche just acquired Brock Nelson last night, do you think the best version of Casey Mittelstadt would be back in Buffalo? And could that help this situation when you're talking about where do you put Jiří Kulík right now? Maybe we assume Josh Norris goes right to the top to enhance his value and put him with the best current winger, which is Tage Thompson. If you put it this way, and we know they just lost again last night, 6-5 to Tampa. It doesn't appear as though offense is the big problem on the team.
Yep.
But you might still be able to get even more out of some of the wingers on the team with a passer in Mittelstadt than where Cousins has been at, which has been struggling to find his form offensively. I get it. Everybody's going to say, have you looked at Casey? He's struggling this year too. But it was the way you just phrased it, where Mittelstadt liked Buffalo. And it's not easy going into high altitude, higher expectations in Denver. I don't know. I wonder, is that a ridiculous thought, or do you think Casey's going to be on the move today?
It's not a ridiculous thought, okay? Because when we were talking about, you know, 1-2 punch down the middle right now with two guys that are shoot first and maybe pass second, or at least that their goals imply that, where is your playmaking coming from? That's where the Casey Milstead thought really is relevant in the conversation. And it's a fun conversation to talk about, right? But, and it only works if, you know, the money would work if Kulik's going to stay, you know, and like, you're not going to like have this astronomical contract that you're going to have to pay, even though the cap's going up, right? I'm still kind of stuck in this because you're still managing some Jeff Skinner buyout dollars the next couple of years, which are significant, right? And you just re-signed Zucker. I started to look at that whole thing and say, as much as I want Zucker, does it, you know, with that, because he's going to be coming with 4.4 of Skinner on the books, and I think it's 6 and change after that, right? Does Zucker really fit in that model? But here's where the center,
especially position, with free agency to deal with Paterka and Quinn, obviously.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. Here's where the center position becomes really interesting, because after this deal now, I think there's questions that Kevin Adams has to kind of solve for. You move out Dylan Cousins and a 7 and change. And you're still evaluating your center depth. You have a couple guys in Rochester that are going to need time. Do you go back and circle back to Vancouver and have the discussion there? And start, it doesn't have to get done today, but you start having the dialogue, and then you have your bird dogs out, really start getting the answers as to what is going on with Elias Pettersson's game, and start to determine, do you set the groundwork to make a deal with them? Because that's where you get a little bit more 200-foot aptitude, and you know, you get a more defensive centerman who we know has been a 100-point player.
So
the gamble to me is worth it, right? It's worth exploring. I can't sit here and say it's totally worth making a deal yet.
Sabres start next year with Pettersson, Norris, and McLeod down the middle. Is that what they're?
Well, yeah, maybe.
Well, hang on. What happened to Jiří?
Jiří? Jiří can go out to wing, or he can play centerman. I mean, I like him down the middle, you know, because here's the thing.
Yeah, I think they do too. So.
Sorry, I didn't mean to step on you, but what else are you getting with Norris? Faceoff aptitude. Right?
Yeah. I mean, this all makes sense, you know. But I do, again, with every transaction comes high risk. And there will be many that say this Norris acquisition is high risk, only because of the time he has spent on the sidelines. Has nothing to do with actually how impactful he can be when he plays. At least Pettersson's a different animal when it comes to that, because of a salary far north of most players in the league, and quite honestly, in his own words, a terrible season to date. So I don't know. It's, if Elias Pettersson ends up in the mix today, I think it's going to be really fascinating from a who gets him standpoint.
Here's the thing. So, you know, if Buffalo had a deal in place with Ottawa, right? An agreement on the principal players in this trade. And 2/3 of the league allegedly called on Cousins, right? It's like, did they already talk to Vancouver? You know, it's like, it kind of makes you wonder. But I would circle back to them, and it doesn't have to get done today again on Pettersson. I just think it's worth exploring a little bit more to see if you can kind of have that dialogue going to springboard you into future discussions on this player, because the thing that's really interesting to me about Pettersson, and I just want to go here for a minute, it's like, I don't think, like, we saw like Rantanen leave Denver and go to Carolina, and the thought is he's got a great, highly skilled countryman there in Aho.
Yeah.
Right? But it's never that simple, as we're finding out right now by watching this play out with Rantanen, right?
Yeah. There have been a lot of Canadians that can't play well together over the years. 50% of the league, you know, historically.
You know how the
Canadian
Finns are, though, right? And it's, my thought with Pettersson is like, I think, like, he's boys with Dahlin. You know, are they best friends? Are they BFFs? I don't know if they're BFFs. I'm just saying, though, that it's never that simple, right? But I do think that a move from Vancouver to Buffalo could be a reset that's worth exploring. You have to really understand if he's going to be able to reclaim his game. And then you evaluate the level of the gamble versus that acquisition cost.
So with Cousins having gone to the Senators today, then, if you were reigniting those talks, is it Byram as the primary guy? Is it Power as the primary guy? Is it someone else, in your opinion, because you're an evaluator as these players go through their college and junior days and get to this next level?
Yeah, I let Vancouver tell me, right? Because I think that first of all, it's a really nice proposition to move forward with Rasmus Dahlin, Bowen Byram and Owen Power as your three left shot defensemen. Mm-hmm. You also have this abundance of riches, and they're three very similar players in terms of player profile, right? So it's like, how do you mix it up? Skill sets a little bit. That's why I say I'd let them tell me. Byram seems to make a lot of sense, you know, as much as I loathe to move off of him.
Yep.
I really would, but every good trade has to hurt a little. Mm-hmm. And again, if you believe that Pettersson can reclaim his game, that's where having some boots on the ground and those relationships to really understand what has led to that awful season. What was it? Horrible season that Pettersson's having. You have to understand it, diagnose it, and determine. But I would tend to think, look, I think that Owen Power is a amazing asset for the Buffalo Sabres to have. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's kind of why you're hearing other names come up, that they're not underperformers, that it's going to give Kevin Adams the opportunity to sell at a very nice value.
2.5 hours till the trade deadline, Buffalo has been active. It is a deal that sends Dylan Cousins, Buffalo boy Dennis Gilbert, and a 2026 second round pick to the Ottawa Senators in exchange for former 35-goal scorer Josh Norris and defenseman Jacob Bernard Docker. The two teams, Ottawa and Buffalo, will meet again, not once, but twice in this regular season in the final quarter of the year. It'll happen on March 25th. Here in Buffalo, back in Ottawa on April Fool's Day. And how many more transactions will go down? You mentioned Rantanen. That is kind of the tip of the iceberg as far as the highest end talent that is most talked about today. Elliot Friedman did a wonderful job kind of laying out the Dallas Stars' interest, but then the stalemate that ensued because of course, a need to get a Rantanen deal done in conjunction with making a transaction. So will he move? Will he not? How much more happens? Obviously, we want your input, too, at Sabres Live on X. And I'll be curious, as we hit break here, what you think people's immediate reaction will be here in Buffalo to this Cousins for Norris deal. So we'll have that coming up. We want you to join us for St. Paddy's Day. Here from a Sabre standpoint, presented by Topps Friendly Markets, when Vegas is in, it's an afternoon game on March 15th, 12:30 p.m. We've got special giveaways and games, of course, in the concourse to celebrate one of, as we know, Buffalo's best holiday traditions. Visit sabres.com/tickets to purchase yours today. We're back after this with Chris Baker from Sabres Prospects on trade deadline day. Sabres active. Will they do more? Stay with us.